well advanced the culture there. There was a lot of idol worship, a lot of wealth, and a lot of sin. Possibly today, just in today's standard of living, it'd possibly be like moving from New York City to El Paso. It was a main trading hub. A lot of trading went on there. So we could liken it if somebody had moved from New York City to El Paso. I don't know if Tiro was a godly man. I would imagine he was. He was a lion. If you follow the generations back, he was from Shem, from Noah. But think of all that these people left. Think of the choice they made to leave that idol-worshipping city with all its conveniences, all its wealth, and move away from that. Think of that choice here this morning. And they moved to Haran. Haran was on a commercial trade route between the Mediterranean Sea, I believe. It wasn't as big and as popular probably as Ur, but it had a lot of idol worship as well, a lot of wealth. They probably weren't on the cutting edge of technology, but they probably still had a lot of modern day conveniences. Not in our terms, but maybe in theirs. And notice that Abram still left Haran and kept on moving. Maybe we could liken that move from El Paso to Luna County, just so that we kind of understand. I'm not at all saying that we are better than anybody else because we moved like we did, but just to get a mental picture of where we live today. Not only that, when Abram left the city and moved on, he no longer had any modern convenience. He began to dwell in tents. Camping's okay for a night or two, but can you imagine living that way year after year? But by that choice, you and I probably, well, God would have provided another way. But because of Abram's choice to leave those cities, in verse 3 of chapter 12, it says, all families of the earth will be blessed. Today, you and I are experiencing the choice of Abram to leave the city and to follow God. We couldn't meet here this morning. If God wouldn't have sent Jesus, we would be lost. We probably would not be in the Jewish race. And it's not good for us to go down that line. But do we understand the power of that choice Abram made? I'm confident God would have raised up someone else in Abram's stead if he would have failed in the choices. But by his choice, God could use him. We could look at Abram's life more, and I want to do that. And I encourage you, I don't have time this morning to go through and read all of Abram's life. But I encourage you sometime to do that. Think about all the trials that Abram went through. All the disappointments. Everything that he faced. Let's go to Genesis 22. I do want to look at another little highlight in his life. But as Abram followed God day by day, he was brought to this part of his life. This is a place where Abraham, his name has been changed to Abraham now, was called to offer his son, his only son, that son that was promised to him that would bring the deliverer. And because Abraham chose to follow God, even in offering his son, I want to read verses 16 through 18. This is God speaking and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Look at the power of that choice this morning. Abraham received a blessing far greater than he probably understood. I want to turn to Luke chapter 16 yet. One more thing I want to look at in Abraham's life. Luke chapter 16. I'm not going to read. I'm going to refer to this chapter some more later on. But I'm only going to read one verse here because we're looking at Abraham and where the choices took him. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 16 says, "And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Here Jesus tells us that Abraham is in paradise. Because of the choices Abraham made, because he chose to follow God, even when it was difficult, God took him to paradise. We can know. Let me back up a little bit. Is it possible for us to know where our choices are going to lead us today? We can't see the future. We don't know what God's going to bring into our lives. We don't even know if we're going to live till tomorrow. But can we tell by our choices today where we're going to end up in eternity? We absolutely can. And with confidence, we know where our choices are going to take us. The challenge is, do you and I stop and realize where our choices will take us? Do we stop and take time to think about those important choices? Where are they going to lead us this morning? I could have read this whole account of the rich man and Lazarus. I didn't. We know the story well. We have two people that made choices on this earth, the rich man and Lazarus, and they're in two different, very different places. We know where our choices will take us. Today, if you choose unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, and tomorrow you choose it, and the next day you choose it, you will spend eternity with the rich man. It becomes a habit that you have no power to change. But there is power that can help you change. Moving on into the practical side this morning. I took the word choices and I made an acrostic out of it. And I want to look at some positive, there may be a negative one in here or so, but I want to look at the positive things that we can choose today to help us on in our Christian life. So I took the word choices and made an acrostic. The first one is C, and that is choose God. This morning, it has to start with choosing God. If you and I do not choose God this morning, all the rest of our choices will be the wrong ones. Think of Joshua's call to the Israelites. Choose you this day. He doesn't say choose tomorrow or choose the next week. He says choose today who you will serve. Right choices begin with God. Christ says, "I am the door, the way to everlasting life." I like Psalms 63, I think it's verse 1. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." So you make a choice. Early in the morning, you're going to seek God. "My soul longeth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land." We live in the desert. We know what it's like to work out there without water. We get thirsty. And I get to the point sometimes I just stop what I'm doing and I find water. Is that what we do with God? Is that our choice with God? "To see thy power and glory as I have seen in the sanctuary." Do we choose God this morning? Is he number one in our life? Second letter is H, and that is have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." I think I better turn there because I typed the verse out wrong, I believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But with faith it is impossible to please him." We can't even begin to please God. We can choose God, But if we don't have the faith to back that choice up, we can't even begin to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not just a casual lifestyle this morning. It takes effort. We don't just float along through the week. We have to diligently seek God and have the faith. Did Abraham have faith? You know, we looked at his example this morning. Did he have faith, or did he just kind of, well, Haran looks a little better, and well, now Canaan looks a little better. And one morning, did he just climb up a mountain with his son? No, Abraham got up early. He had a purpose in mind because God told him to move. God told him to take his son up to that mountain. And he chose in faith to obey God. It is impossible to please God if we do not have faith. For O, the third letter, I have obedience. We can have faith, but do we have obedience? I think of the song, "When We Walk With the Lord, Trust and Obey." When we walk with the Lord, we're choosing God. We make that commitment. In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. We're walking in faith. We can't see very far, but we know God's light is there, shining in front of us. Also, I want to bring out, if you would look in your songbooks at that song, "In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way." That does not end with a period. It ends with an exclamation mark. What a glory he shines on our way. He abides with us still and with all who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. These are very powerful words, but what does the Bible have to say? Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I think we have time for that this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Another very common Bible story that we all know. It's when Saul fails to destroy the Amalekites. And what does Samuel tell him here in these couple verses? Chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. And Samuel says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul had a choice once again when he went out to battle. And what did he choose? He chose disobedience. And look at where it took him. He was rejected by God. Is that what you and I want in our lives this morning? Do we want to purposely and continually disobey God? That kind of lifestyle will bring rejection from God. It'll bring an eternity without God this morning. We can have a lifestyle of sacrifice and offering the best of what we have, but if we're not walking in obedience with God this morning, he will still reject us. Fourth letter is I, and I chose influence others for Christ. I'm not going to turn to Matthew chapter 23. It's a long, lengthy chapter, but it's where Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. And he said unto them, "Woe unto you, Pharisees." And he said it many times through that chapter. And we understand that the Pharisees were a very influential people in that time. They had a lot of influence on people. They also made life difficult for people. Their influence was away from God. not towards God. Their influence was to bring honor and glory to themselves. And we have that choice today. You and I can choose this morning to attempt to influence people for our own honor and our glory. Or we can choose to influence them for Christ. And I just challenge you, what are you trying to do during the week? As you go about making a living and providing for your family, are you consciously trying to influence others to look to Christ? Or are you trying to portray self? Portray an image of who you really want people to see. For the letter C, I have crucify self. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we're going to choose God this morning, we're also going to have to choose death to self. It's a daily choice. Every day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he has to die daily to self. And it's a choice that we have to make all day long sometimes. And I think any of us here that are truly born again, we know that battle. We know that struggle, and we know what it's like. We want to obey. We want to do what's right, but that flesh rebels. And I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's crucify self. Let's choose Christ this morning. Let's beat our bodies into subjection. But we have to make the choice to. It will not happen automatically. The letter E, encourage others. This is related to influencing others. But yet it might be different as well. Do we take time to share love and compassion, not just for our families, not just for our church family, but to all those we meet? I could have went to the Good Samaritan. He possibly never had met that man before. He didn't know who he was, but yet he reached out in love and compassion. And he was encouragement to him. Do we have a burden for those in our church? Do we do what we can to make their walk with Christ a more real walk? Or do we throw stumbling blocks in front of them? Do we go around the neighborhood and try to tell people who they really are? Do we encourage them? Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want to look at a little bit different angle. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to look at this in a little bit different way as well. Didn't quite know where to bring this in. So I'll do it right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read the first 5 verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Here Paul is giving Timothy the charge to preach. And I would like to look at this in relation to friends, family that have walked away, have started to walk away from Christ. This here, the first 5 verses here, I do not believe is only for the ordained. I think it's for every believer in Christ. And do we try and encourage? Do we make that choice to encourage those that have walked away from truth? You know, the rich man wanted somebody to go back to his brothers after it was too late. Do we make the choice today to try and reach them before it's too late? The last letter I have is serve God. I think the last several Sundays here, somebody has brought up that we cannot, or maybe last services, I'm not sure, but somebody has brought up the verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where we can only choose one master. Let's choose God. Let's serve God this morning. And in serving God, we choose to serve each other. Matthew 25, verse 40, the king shall say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Christ here is teaching that when we serve each other, we're serving Him. Do you and I look for ways to serve each other? It's a choice. It's a choice to open our eyes. It's a choice to serve God this morning. Matthew 28, verse 18 is the Great Commission. If we choose to serve God, are we doing that Great Commission? Are we out there teaching? Are we out there preaching? Are we in here teaching? Are we in here preaching? Our greatest mission field is sitting right in these benches beside us. If we don't teach our children, if we don't evangelize to them, what do we have to offer the world? We focus mainly on making good choices this morning. And we saw where it took Abraham. We saw where it took Lazarus. We also saw where it took the rich man. What kind of choices are we making this morning? Are we living for self? Are we choosing to honor and to serve self over God? Are we saying and living as Joshua of old, as for me and my house will serve the Lord? Our choices today decide our destiny tomorrow. Let's kneel for prayer.